Okay, so now I'd like to echo Nancy's words in spirit, but with slightly different language. My name's Toni Mendocino. I'm the Freedom Socialist Party organizer for the Bay Area. And again, we're very, very happy and honored to have this special event tonight, and thank you all so much for coming to New Valencia Hall. In a few moments, I'm going to turn the floor over to our guests who came here all the way from Sao Paulo, Brazil. And San Francisco is one of the only places that people in the United States have the opportunity to hear Dee Dee speak, and we'll be having the presentation as far as hearing from him, and there's a video with some excerpts from struggles that are happening, workers and organizing happening in Brazil, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. The Freedom Socialist Party is a 40-year-old socialist and feminist organization. We've been involved in the movements in many different areas, from immigrant rights to fighting in the labor movement, and also we're very involved in trying to connect with struggles internationally. We're Trotskyists, and we're also very strong proponents of the leadership of women. We think that the most oppressed, whether it's gay people or young people or working people who are struggling on their jobs to, you know, fight for their basic rights and other issues are all fundamental parts of our struggle here for justice in the United States and against capitalism. So we're very, very honored to have opportunity tonight to hear, as I said, from some updates from what's happening in Brazil, the largest country in Latin America and a place where there's a tremendous diversity of movements. And so I will, with that, introduce Jirsu Travesso, who is also known as Dee Dee. It's much easier to say for me. But Dee Dee is a national leader in Brazil. He is one of the national leaders of the PSTU, or the Unified Socialist Workers' Party, which is a very important party. He can tell you more about it. And he's also a trade unionist in the banking sector, which is one of the most strongest and militant unions in Brazil. He's going to be talking tonight about what's happening there, and including addressing issues with the Lula government and the social and political movement. So we'll hear from him, and then, as I said, we'll have time for people to ask questions. And also, Dee Dee's been involved in the formation of Conlutas, which is a formation that split from the Central Union of Workers, CUT, in 2004. And it's a trade federation that has really taken the struggle of oppressed people to heart. And that's something we'll also hear more about. It's also known as the National Coordination of Struggle. And we'll also hear about plans for an encuentro, or a conference of workers from Latin America and Caribbean that's being called in July in Brazil, and other issues of the day. So I'd like to turn the floor over to Dee Dee, and you can add anything I forgot, and then afterward I'll call in people and we'll have a chance to have discussion. Thank you.
Well, thank you for, you know, it's a real pleasure to be here. First of all, I'm going to try to just speak in English. It's not my English, I don't speak that well, but I'm going to try. And if I don't feel so comfortable, I'll switch to Portuñol. It's not even Spanish, and we're going to see how can we work on that. Well, I think I'm very comfortable to be here, and I really thank you the chance to be discussing with you, even with my bad English, because it could be very, very worse. I could speak a very good English. We're talking about, you know, profits and the interest of the imperialist economy. And even if my bad English, I think we got a real, you know, common language. It's the people who wants to change this world, because we are not, that's not the world we want for us or for anybody. Well, to talk, so many questions, and in a discussion like this, it's impossible to, you know, if I would say about the situation in Brazil in all the details, the questions and what's going on, and whatever the situation in America Latina, the experience we're having right now with Lula governments, and the two main questions we are trying to face to the next period, it is one, by one side, we are trying to move and build in Brazil an experience of a trade union. We split it from the majority, or the biggest trade union we got there, it's CUT, it's the biggest one, and we are trying to make a unique front of unionists, mass and popular movement, landless people, to organize the struggle. But at the same time, we think it's very important. Meanwhile, we just go in the struggles and struggling together, building this resistance and confidence relations to discuss another question, the question of the revolutionary program. Because we think these two questions are very tied. It's not possible today. When you discuss this film you have having here, it's a shame that, you know, someone made the thing wrong, as always. It's just some speech. It's good for us in Brazil because it's what we are discussing that is going on in General Motors in Brazil. But for you, as it is in Portuguese, you cannot understand. It would be better if you could see the scenes of the meetings in the front of a General Motors. Down in General Motors in Brazil now, we got just the same question we are having here in North America. General Motors just proposed for the workers there 2 months ago that they would create 600 jobs if the union and the workers would accept cutting the wage and cutting rights, the question of the journey and other questions. And the workers made three general meetings in the front of the door and said no. The first one said no, and General Motors sent them, put pressure inside of, the ground of the factory, the plant, and with the chiefs and everything, made abaixo-assinado, a signature petition, to say, well, we were confused, we did not understand, so we want a new meeting. And so you have the second meeting, and again the workers said no. And then the third one, and then they just be quiet. But we know that next Monday, Tuesday, they will present a new proposal to the union and the workers from General Motors from Brazil. What's the new proposal? They were going to say that, well, there is no more 600 new jobs, but you have to accept to cut the wage and cut rights. If you don't, in 4 years, we just will, how do you say that, close the plant. Mm-hmm. Well, when you come to America and you see the situation you live in here, when I start saying that the two questions are very, very tied, how can in union today you discuss the question of our rights, the working class rights, if you don't believe and if you don't have a conception that you can organize this society in another way? It's impossible to defend the wage and the rights of Brazilian General Motors workers. Why? It's very, very simple. Because if you accept the way that is organized capitalism and economic crisis going on, it's a fact. They are not in, they are not lying to us. It's a crisis over there. And General Motors real needs to get its profits higher to cut the wage of the workers and the rights. They need that. They are not lying. So, if you don't believe it's possible to organize all the relation of production, distribution, and everything in another way that is not capitalist way, you have to say, well, if I want my job, I have to enforce General Motors in this dispute against Ford or against Volkswagen or against each other or any other corporation. So when I start saying that for us, the question is to put these two problems together, that doesn't mean to make confusion. What I mean by that, because we got a lot of people that we don't have any agreement about how it's going to be the revolution, how we have to build a party, the program, but we have, yes, we gotta have agreements about to be in a struggle together and resist, and so we have to do this, and going into the two process. Well, when we see today America Latina situation, the crisis that we're carrying down there, the kind of leftists, how do you say that? Gobierno de izquierda.
Con this like,
oh, I put in a comma. All the poorest, all the questions are going down there. It's not the America Latina situation. What we have in America Latina, it's the discussion what's going on all over the world. What I mean? It's a capitalist way to organize production and how to put his interests all over the world. So if United States right now are bombing an occupation, it was question of occupation in Iraq or Afghanistan and whatever, the question of Palestine, what we have behind this is the question of oil or of energy and how to appropriate of a nature questions to move the economy. In Latin America, the question is are the same. How to appropriate from, or in China, how do they can appropriate about human being workers' force to produce with a lower cost, is that? And to get my profits. But not only this. There is another question in America Latina, it's very important. That's nature in general. I said water. And the Amazonas, I don't know the words to discuss this, but I think you can understand. In the next period, the human beings are going to face two very big problems. One of them is energy. How can we survive changing this standard of the oil that moves the world? And the other one is nature. That means water and whatever. These two environment. This word for me is medio ambiente. Is my spot. These two questions are so crucial for the humanity in the next period. And it's also for the imperialists, because they cannot continue taking the profits they have or they need if you know, they don't appropriate of everything in the world. Everything. And now I, you know, discussing the changing of the question of revolutionary process and necessity to struggle against these governments, we're not saying a ideological question, a general ideological question. It goes to very concrete life of every people in the world today. At maybe 3-4 decades before, we could have someone in the country in America Latina that, you know, just survive with a river beside his farm and planting some things, but today the people who are there just trying to get the water off this river and the land to plant, it's Syngenta or it's Monsanto or it's not more the land question in America Latina, it's not more the working the farmer people, the landless people in America Latina is struggling against how do I say the old reactionary people from country in America Latina. They are just struggling against the imperialist big corporations. That is in debate. And when we say that America Latina is just the situation of the world to just go down to Brazil, what you're saying is that if we have this leftist government, Chavez in Venezuela, the governor Ecuador, Argentina, and Bolivia, Uruguay, and even Brazil. That's because in the 90s, when they, with the George Bush administration, when we start with Reagan, the neoliberalism, put a very hard attack against all the workers and the people in all over the world, and especially in America Latina, was the privatizations, neoliberal programs, and everything, that the standard of life that we had was already very bad, went down. Then, with the crisis, the end of the 90s, we got such this up, is it up raise? Las mobilizaciones, los levantes del movimiento.
Uprisings.
This uprising in several countries in America Latina. This revolutionary process. When we say revolutions, we say that people just move and put down government, say, we don't want this. And we, until the 90s, we are not used to see what's happening in America Latina. We always have seen this scene of people uprising against government, but it was dictatorship government. We are not talking more about dictatorship government. We are talking about elected with bourgeois democracy. And even so, what's happening in America Latina? They just change governments, but the policy, the programs, and ever they making, it's just the same. And those governments, leftists, are consequence of the people were, you know, very, very angry and say, well, we don't want more debt. Even that doesn't mean that everybody has very clear that's capitalism and imperialism and we have to change. But they know that their lives have been affected and they were struggling against these situations. So when we look to America Latina and see those governments, we have to say that they are consequence of the struggle of the working class and the mass people. And not there is no Chavez in Venezuela and Evo in Bolivia, Lula in Brazil. There is a very, very strong resistance from the movement. And so it's possible this kind of government because of this situation of the people struggling. And this government has a role to play. What's the rule? Role. A role to play. What's the role? Yeah, it's easier to imperialism to put their project with people who came from the movement. What we call the Front Popular, Popular Front Government, that look like it's mine. It's just like in Brazil, when we got the slavery, we got one person that we used to call, in the history, they used to call Capitão do Mato. It would be country captain. Because when you have the slavery and got the rebellions, the people wouldn't run to the inside of the country. And the Capitão do Mato was a black man who would go after to get people and bring them back, armed. And as we say, if you're a slave, a black slave, and you see a white people just coming in, you're going to run and fight. But if you see a black one just coming, you can't recognize it at first. It's your enemy that's trying to get you. So this popular front government has this role to become things easier to imperialism. I don't have enough time to discuss all these questions. We got different kinds of these governments in America Latina right now. Even Chavez is not exactly a popular front government because he comes from the army, not from a popular or mass organization, working class organization. So it's much more a bourgeoisie nationalist government, which it's not even an anti-imperialist government. Why we say that? Because Chavez is more anti-Bush government, because the relation Chavez has to European imperialism, or even with sectors of, it's different. And right now we got lots of struggle going on in Venezuela, and there was a very spectacular victory right now. The last month, there was a very important conflict of these workers, steel workers, called Sidor, and these workers were in trying to get La Renovación, the negotiation of the contract. And there was repression by the government. There was the government was protecting the factory, the bosses. The bosses are Italians. They say Argentinian, but the majority of the capital is Italian, with the Argentinian bourgeois in the front of it. This struggle has a very, very important victory after the struggling of the working class. Last week, Chavez nationalized this empresa. The question is, he nationalized, but he did not, how would I say, he's negotiating right now how to compensate the people. When this empresa, how do you say, this company, corporation, it was privatized, and what they got money in these years where they were there, it's much, but much more than they put in or something. So they don't have to be indemnized for anything. Well, then we go to Bolivia or Ecuador, that you got this Front Popular government that they appear after a very, very strong mass movement that put down governments. So it seems like are more leftist, because it's the situation of the country are more to left, because the workers are pushing with more force. In Brazil, we got what we call a this kind of government, a Front Popular government, but it is a preventive one. The working class in Brazil, it's the strongest one in Latin America, I think. It's not a nationalism or chauvinism, it's the biggest one. It's, you know, the factories, everything. And if there was some Argentinian here, we're going to have a good discussion. Then we would play a soccer. And then we also would end in a churrasco, a barbecue. So this situation in Brazil was, we got this government in the 90s that put the neoliberal program. And Lula was the guy who comes, a worker, you know, a metal worker union, a leader of their strikes against the dictatorship. He built a party in the trade union, in the left, saying about changes and anti-imperialism. But in the 90s, when the situation of all the world, when you got the falls, how do you say that? A queda do muro in there. Quando se caiu el muro e
tal. Oh, yeah, the fall of the Berlin Wall. Fall,
yes.
Of
there's a, it opened, we don't have time to discuss all those questions, but it opened a very contradictory situation. In one hand, we had a fantastic and phenomenal revolutionary process. Why? Because when Stalinism falls, this big apparato opened for the first time since the 30s the real chance for working class to discuss the question of revolution. And what's the program, what the method, and everything. But by the other hand, when it falls, and it was not the working class in, I would say, in front of this, with a revolution and a program of imperialism, used this to make the strongest ideological attack that we had this in decades. Mm-hmm. So the left just come to right. It became like, well, when you have is it a rope? When everybody move like in a line, and the left just like make these. So the bourgeoisie, like neoliberalism, and more hard to attack the movement. And so the social democratic became, and so everybody going to right. So the Workers' Party in Brazil that comes with as a very interesting experience about, discussing the to build an alternative to socialist alternative to Stalinism. Just go to social democracy program and end it there. And so they have all the 90s to make this change and get the strategy of getting in power by the elections and do whatever imperialism say. And that's what's happening in Brazil. So Lula government also, well, there are lots of, you know, question about this, but Lula's policy, it's something, you know, he just, well, Brazil, he says, Brazil paid the international, for, how do you say, FMI, Fundo Monetário Internacional, the IMF dubbed, it's paid. What they don't say, it's, in during the Lula government, Brazil paid about almost $800 million in these 6 years, $800 million of juros, los intereses.
The interest on the loan.
Yeah, of this international debt. But it's not only that. They, to help imperialism, they just changed the debt to an internal debt. So there is no the external one, but who has this governor's internal debt was the neoliberalism. What means? There is no more national frontier for the capital. It's the same, the bankers and the big corporations. So we continue to have... well, when Lula went to government, they had about $400 million of debt, of the international. And today, the internal debt, it's over a trillion and something. You understand? And paid $800 million in this period. So this is... Now, it make all those the reforms, put... reforms on working class and unionism and workers' rights and the question of previdencia, la pensión, los retirados,
the retirement
and the pensions and reforms. All the agenda. Even for our shame, I don't know the word exactly, Brazil today... when Bush asked that they need someone to go to Haiti, is that the way you say it? Haiti to put a peace force of UN. Lula said, okay, I'm in front of the line. And Brazil has the majority of the soldiers who are in Haiti right now. Just this week, what's up? Uprise, very, very strong, because people don't have what to eat. And Brazil is, I think since the Paraguay wars, that was in the 19th, this rule, pro-imperialist, with an army out of the country to rule the imperialist business right now. So that is the Lula government. That means that the things in Brazil are going so easy, and everybody is saying, no, that's not. Because at the same time, we got a lot of experience in organized sectors, but Lula put what they call it, what was, how do you say, previsto?
What was foreseen.
Foreseen in the neoliberal program, these compensations programs. You know, they got what they call Bolsa Família, Bolsa Educação. It's social programs,
social security,
that put like about maybe $40 a month for a family, And but that's, when you look to Brazil, that's something. It's not. And when you look at the electoral map of Workers' Party, it's very interesting, because in the country... Workers' Party, we built in the 80s, in the 90s, the Workers' Party, just in the industrial, where the workers, working class, were more organized. And the right would win the elections in the country. Today, it's the other side. Because these social programs attend people in all over the country, and it's almost nothing, as we say, but anyway... But we think, well, by the other hand, so electorally, today, they continue being a very, very strong force. The question is not that Workers' Party and CUT, by the union question, is failed. It's just fell down and doesn't exist anymore. It will continue, and it will continue very strong. But it died as a working class instrument for our struggle to fight against imperialism and bosses and everything. And that opens a very interesting situation in Brazil. We are right now with this question of conlutas. We got a small party, a very small party. In the elections, when we run by ourselves, we got about 0 something. See? But in the struggles, in the movement, our powers, the force we got is very, very different. If you open the internet right now, you're going to shoot in Brazilian bourgeois sites. You're going to see two or three movements that we are inside of this, just with landless people, with the students, mega occupation universities, this kind of struggle that was here, just well, in not the best way, the General Motors campaign, and we are inside of this getting. Well, so what do we say to... You do not justify. Well, what we think the situation in Brazil is, it's we have a chance in the next period, even if with the party and the left people who were breaking from the last experience with Workers' Party in CUT in this trade union, to build a very, very strong movement that resists in Brazil. But the question is, the next period, we think things are going to get worse in means of, you know, you got this very, very big economic crisis. And it's very interesting because here it seems like people are not discussing that much, but it's a serious crisis of the capitalists since the 29, and that's not, we are not saying that. We're saying that to some of the guys who run the imperialist business. They're saying, well, thing is not so easy. It's going to be hard in the next period. And we are absolutely sure about that. In the beginning of the 2000, when we got this economic crisis in Brazil, in India, Russia, this BRICS, as they call it, I don't know how you call it, emergent countries. How do you say it? Is it? Los países emergentes?
The developing countries.
The developing countries. They say about the four of them. India, China, Brazil, and Russia. Those are strong economies. When you got this crisis in the end of the 90s, well, the consequence were revolutions like we saw in Ecuador, in Argentina, four or five governments just falling down, because of the action of the masses. Venezuela, Bolivia, Ecuador, and we don't have any doubt that the next period, we don't know, we cannot say today it's going to be 6 months, 1 year, but the effects of this economic crisis are going to be very, very deep to the working class and to the mass movement all over the world, and including here in the United States that people are feeling it. And so, when we are having right now, we're going to have this Conlutas Congress in July. It's a little organization in Brazil. There is about five or six trade unions right now in Brazil. We have the smallest one. And about 2 months ago, one of the most important bourgeois journal in Brazil just put just one page, matéria, how do you say, one page...
Information
about the new trade union and say, well, this is the... it was not the fashion, I think. Well, this is the what calls more attention, what people are just... And just us, because it is the smaller one. What the question? Because we got a consequent way to discuss and to struggle. And the other ones are just, you know, trade unions, like you got here, the bureaucracy in the United States, that are very tied to these bosses' interests. So, and we are organizing the same time this international meeting, calling with the COB, it's the Central Obrera Boliviana. For us, it's something like a proud, because COB in America Latina is the trade union which has the tradition to discuss a question not only to defend the miners' workers in Bolivia and the working class in Bolivia, but also their revolutionary discussion. For those who doesn't know Bolivian in history, the Central Obrera Boliviana was founded in discussion with a program that was based in transition program from Leon Trotsky in discussing the question of the power. And that question had put in Bolivia for several times. Unfortunately, that was not a revolutionary party to do this as the last or ultimas consequences. So we are trying to organize these two questions, but I to not take that much and so it's a long time. What we think is very important, I came to two meetings or two discussions here in the United States. We think when I was telling you about COB, that little organization we got in Brazil has today the chance to relation with one of the most powerful Central Obrera in America Latina, that is COB. Even if it's a smaller country than Brazil, we are big, we have this industry, operarian rock, but Bolivia, even is smaller, has one of the most interesting history of tradition of working class and mass movement in America Latina. And we don't think it's, how would I say that, it happened because it has to happen. It's because, as I said before, as all the left just gone to right, it doesn't, how would I say, it's not because we are so good. The question is, there is nobody else being there in the struggle to face imperialism and to defend working class people. That's the way, that's because COB is just with us and not with the other Brazilians, bigger trade unions organizing an international meeting. That's because in this moment we got Bataille Ouvrière, this organization from Haiti, because no other organization in Brazil is going to be with the Haiti people struggling against Lula government and its imperialist program that has ahead Lula government and the Brazilian army. That's the reason. And when I was saying that I came here to two kind of activities, one of their, I went to a kind of left unionist meeting, labor notes conference. In general, they put together different experience here in the United States of people who works with union question. And we think it was very important to be here and go to the labor notes conference because we want to be in touch and to discuss with these people who are acting and have their militants in the union movement. Because we think it's not possible in the next period that we have a struggle like General Motors' question, and that we can make this struggle a victory if we are not have the question of international solidarity. But I'm not saying solidarity as something we are, so poor down there, we got so wage, low wage, and we came here to the rich people to ask, well, support us. That's not the question. If it is, if the American people and American working class understand like this, we don't have any hope that we can face this situation and get victories. Because the best way of internationalism against imperialism attacks is exactly organizing the American working class mass movement and struggle here in this moment against the crisis. And see that the struggle we're making down there is the same. And when the bosses come here and say to some workers, right now it's happened this American Axle company. I don't know if you know this company. It makes the axle from the cars. It's not Delphi. It's Axle. AXLE. O eixo. Eixo de los coches. There are, I think today there are almost 20 plants of General Motors just stop it in the United States because they don't have axle to put the cars. They are just closing the factories. We were there with those workers, and we said, but what the bosses say to them is, well, they are making the same thing that General Motors is making in Brazil in this moment. And what the bosses say to these workers here is, if they don't accept to cut the wages, if they don't accept to put their rights down, there are some Mexicans that want their jobs. And when you go to Mexico, they say to the Mexican, there are some Brazilians, they want their job. And when I go to Brazil, they want their job. There are the Chinese who want their jobs. And what we have to say is, someone is lying here.
That's right.
And who's lying is, are the bosses. And, you know, it's real true that someone wants the other things. It's the bosses. They want our rights. They want our wages. They want to put us down in everything to get their profits higher. And they are going to try to put one against the other. So it's not easy. When we say like this, it's not like easy. It's not. It's not. It's very difficult. I had this experience. We were there in front of Axel, and we made this speech saying about solidarity. And it was this guy. We are there in Mexican. Argentinian and Brazilian. And then I saw this scene. Sorry, I'm going to just show what the guy did, because it was a working class guy that was down there in the picket line, very, you know, just like our working class everywhere, just joking. And when we said, okay, it's good, you come here. Then when I take a look, he was discussing with his brothers of Axel, and he put three fingers and he said, well, it's Brazilian and Argentina, and Mexico is left for us. He made this joke. Well, because he has in his mind, I can blame at him. I don't think we should do that. Because he is just reflecting what the bosses are saying and saying and saying. And worse than that, what the leadership from the union are saying too. So what we have to do is to just, you know, to say, well, that's not true. That's not true. And try to discuss what then the question of solidarity. So that's one of the things. The other question, because of the time and that we can discuss and see what information, whatever. So we try to work in this project. So I was in labor notes because of this. To try to get... And it works. We got there this question of Axel, mobilization, strike, as going on. We got these people from Cleveland who works in a Daimler Chrysler plant. There is a conflict, and five persons were just fired because of, including unionists from the local. And the bureaucracy, the international from UAW, just, you know, let them in the street. And we got in touch with several very interesting people who are in the movement. But there, and we want and need to put this this project desenvolvendo in the develop.
We want to develop,
because it's not possible to struggle. It's not impossible to resist the next period if we can't build like a international coordination of the struggle that are going on. And the other thing I came here to, and that's the reason I'm in San Francisco, is that we think this change, this chance we got, because all the apparatus, I was saying about the unionist apparatus, are so right that there is nobody defending the workers. So it's there are lots and lots of workers that are sceptical, because say, well, never union, what do I need a union? But that doesn't mean that it's everybody, and we have to talk to the people who are trying to resist, who are trying to struggle, and try to get them confident again in the question of our union. I mean, union as a unity to get together to struggle, that's the only chance we got. Mm-hmm. That's one question, but at the same time, and so this is very, very important. If we don't do like this, we are going to be just, you know, discussing the question of the imperialists and the revolutionary movement, completely isolated, which are the real movement in the working class. And there is only chance of a revolutionary process if it exists workers' movement and struggle. So I cannot say the principles of the revolution if they are not in some way tied, or I try to bring it together to the struggle and the resistance in the working class. So comes so we not established for you to know. We came here to discuss and went to EXO. And we went to the international. We went to the international for UAW. We went there and said, well, we are here. We want to discuss with you. The guys were looking at us, what this? I said, well, there's going this thing in São José dos Campos, it's in Brazil, in General Motors. We think it's the same that are passing it. We want to discuss with you, what can we do together? The guys are looking at us and, oh, we are not afraid to discuss with a bureaucrat. We don't have any medo.
No fear.
We not have no fear to discuss with them. If we know what we want, we don't want relations with them. We don't want. We are absolutely sure that it cannot take the struggle of the workers in consequence. So, what we want when we go to discuss with them is try to find a way to get to discuss with all the workers. And we are not do this just talking to them. So that's the reason we went also to the plant, talking to rank and file people, and take the other people that we are interested. But the other question to put and to try to finish is, this is not enough. Because we can struggle together in the question of General Motors. We can struggle together in the EXO or in the, well, some other unionists or rights or whatever.
Longshoremen.
Or even Meio Ambiente or some of this question, a question of, justice and or whatever. But if we don't discuss, when I said, well, it's impossible to discuss the life of these farm people who are in America Latina, living in far away in the country, you know, just by himself, it has a with the trade, the big corporations, and when I said that, you know, if you don't discuss another form of organizing the production and, well, another kind of society, you have to say, well, General Motors is right. Syngenta too, and Monsanto either, and so we're going on. So the question is, we at the same time we have, and we need to impulse and to reinforce the struggle and unique front to do this, we have to open a very, very fraternal, how to say?
Fraternal?
And open and truly, I don't know the term, discussion about what are the program, the strategy, and the method that the revolutionary will build in the next period. For us, from the PSTU, that means to rebuild the Fourth International. We don't think it's possible to be independent. We don't think that we can make a very strong trade union in Brazil and get representative as Lula did in the next period. But if we are not internationalists and with a working class conception of revolutionary necessity, we are going to be the next trade union leadership who has to be, you know, just putting down because became bureaucracy. And a bureaucratic trade union that will capitulate to imperialism. We are absolutely sure about that. We don't think Lula is bad because he was born like this, and we were so good and revolutionary because, well, I'm good and revolutionary. since I was born. We think it has to be with the program. And so the reason I came here is because we got, it sometimes look like, wow, well, so little and few organizations, but that's it. That's how we think it's possible to discuss in the next period how to rebuild an international, the fourth international with the program. It means a conception of a Leninist party, the necessity that we got to work in the working class to discuss the strategy, socialism, revolution, and things like this. We don't establish this discussion as condition to be in a struggle together. We can do the other question. That's the sectarians. They are absolutely incapaces.
Incapable,
because they put this as a condition to be in a struggle together. So we have, it's not easy. When I say this, look, oh, okay, let's do that. It's not that good. But I think, well, the question is, if we don't do, things will continue just the way they are there. And we think we get a great opportunity. Not only this, when we say working class, we are talking about lots of themes today that take people, because we are discussing a conception of the world. So for us, when we say the working class rights, it means, I don't defend a worker in Bolivia or in Panama or in Iraq or a Palestinian, you know, because, well, working class people, I like them. No, it's a conception of the world. But I mean, it's an ideological question. We cannot admit that some men or women will survive exploiting others. That's class oppression. And at the same time, there are, in these struggles, the other questions. And capitalism put this in harder and harder. Because the question of racism today, it seems like it's, well, I was talking to someone, I don't know who, I walk in this country and I see, I was here in 74. It was 6 years after Martin Luther King has been killed. I was a young guy, 16 years old. You can see that it changed a lot of things. But I tell you, when I walk in the streets, you can see that people don't feel comfortable. It's like everybody, it's a kind of tolerance, but doesn't mean that I can deal with the other people. Jew is not a word. I can relate with other people as equal. I'm thinking about racism, but and also has the question of the women or all the questions of sexuality oppressions. I say, I don't know how to say LGBT and what the
LGBT, sexual minorities.
Yes, it's the same, because when you say a worker is being exploited, and for this corporation, it's someone who are taking advantage of other. We cannot admit this happens in the relation of to produce some things, but we cannot admit that only in the relations of the human beings. The sexual question, the racial question, we are all equal. And that's very interesting, because those cards over there, these cards here, this it's a call for the National Congress of Conlutas. See this picture here? This was our last Congress. This was the moment when we voted that we were going to start to build Conlutas. Because everybody was real afraid. We were just, you know, facing the strong Lula government, the strong trade union that he support. We were about 2,000 or 2,300 delegates. We are preparing a congress that's going to take place right now in July. That's going to have, we think, about 5,000 delegates. And just today, Thursday, in Brazil, it's Friday already. So, but Saturday, it's going to begin a national meeting of the women of Conlutas. We are preparing the discussion of the Congress of Conlutas. Why? Because it's not enough to discuss a general question of working class. Because inside of the struggles, you got the question of the woman. not only the violence of the sexual question or the sexual oppression, but how the women are affected for this situation we are living right now. And we wanna, so when we say we want to build the struggles together and get unity for this, it's not splitting the question. Well, we got oppression here, and we got a... We don't think like this. We don't. That doesn't mean, by the other hand, that we go inside and say, okay, as we are, everybody here are struggling against the bosses, we are anti-capitalists, so we are equals. No, because the oppression, it reflects in, at the same way that this guy in front of Axel was capitulating to the boss, sorry for the finger, when he makes like this to me, that's the same thing that we reproduce with machismo, with racismo, among the working class either. And we have to... So, to conclude, those are the two questions we are working with. Putting people together to struggle and build a space that that can make it possible. The international meeting we're making is a kind of... It's a try of doing this. The Conlutas in Brazil is a try of doing this. And the opening discussion of the revolutionary program to rebuild the fourth is the other question. That doesn't mean that we have to no agreement with everything. Stalinism fall. So that means that nobody has the truth. We got to resgatar, how do you say it? The classics, Marx and Lenin and... But we got to discuss between because we have to bring them to actuality. And this is not an easy thing to do.
Revisit and update.
It's not easy to do. And we don't think that we are the one who can do that. We think that is going to be something that we're going to need to put this left together. When I mean put the left together, that doesn't mean in conditional way. That means start with some basic agreements. And today, I think it's impossible to develop that, but I think it too it's important to discuss and to have this in mind. Well, I don't know, just end it here because she gave me 20 minutes and I think it's...
Doubled it. No, I'm not. Well, I'm just going to call on people so we can make sure everyone who wants to say something or ask a question gets a chance. So if you'd like to raise your hand, I'll just take people as I see them and maybe take a few, depending. We can go as long as we want, but I was thinking, why don't we take several questions and...